Okay, so for this conference, we're going to do like we did yesterday. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and this will be more of a teaching versus, let's call it a meditation or a prayer per se, but knowing God can speak to us in many different ways, through study as well. And as we said in the beginning, this is a triduum of renewal, so the retreat can take different forms year to year, where the spiritual exercises are spiritual exercises, you know, you can... It's the same format every year, depending on what you can emphasize different things and so forth. But this silent retreat is a eternal renewal. So there will be a teaching part too. It's also a way when we switch gears, you know, it's also a way of resting so that we can actually receive more. If we're only in one gear all the time, you know, that can get extra tiring. And then you can reach your saturation point sooner, and then you might be hearing excellent stuff, but it's like doing bouncing off here, bouncing off there. It's not hitting and staying, right? So thinking at this part of the afternoon, it could be good to switch gears a little bit. So we're going to do a teaching in general, the discernments, what does Ignatius mean by discernment of spirits in general? And then I'm going to teach the examine prayer. So we've mentioned that a few times. I do suggest in this part of the retreat, again, if you are there in this part of the retreat, everyone hopefully following where the Spirit has you and you're continuing those conversations, but if you're here on this part of the retreat, that you also take time to read and pray with some of the handouts in this section, section 3, on the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit to mankind, by Origen, called Your Kingdom Come, to pray with that as well. I put in there a prayer of abandonment, and the ECYD prayer, which is another form of that same prayer, of self-dedication and abandonment to our Lord. So, I have to turn it on. I always forget to turn it on. Talk about discerning here. We're talking about discernment spirits. We're talking about a form of examine. We're not talking about the charismatic gift of discernment of spirits. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about discernment, that which we all can do. Because we're all wired to know the voice of the Good Shepherd. So this is coming again from our identity, not from an extra special gift. The extra special gift is a discernment of spirits gift. That's a different thing. Okay? We're not talking about that. So... we hear this all the time. If you've been going to spiritual exercises for years, you may have heard this, but my experience has taught me that in our spiritual family, we were pretty good at giving and teaching and living principle and foundation in week one of the spiritual exercises. We were pretty good. We laid strong foundations in that area. So the different schools of spirituality have different lingos or vocabulary, right, to describe spiritual life. Ignatius uses weeks. You know, Carmelites can use the mansions. The classical, purgative, illuminative, unitive, right? We were pretty good at explaining and introducing people and living the purgative way. Pretty good. We were weaker at knowing what to do when the person was growing into illuminative and unitive. They're just, you know, no one can give what they don't have. It's no one's fault. But time is showing us that those good foundations are bearing fruit. And people are changing. And so we have to also learn how to adjust to the person where they are in the spiritual life to help them keep on growing. This is why we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the reform of life this time. I don't know if you did that last year. I don't know. But... because I assumed, as I did a couple of questions, you know, of who's going to be the audience, and the majority, not everyone, but the majority around for a while, and Reagan and Christie. Okay. That's a tool for the purgative life. Doesn't mean it ever goes away, absolutely, but it's a tool that's most effective in the purgative life. But once one is in the illuminative or the unitive, it loses its power, right? It has less, it's less effective because that's not the actual need anymore. It's a surface-level tool. It's a very good tool. It's surface-level. It's meant to clip away bad fruit from the tree, let's say, the exterior. It requires work, because I have to do that work. But it can't address, it doesn't address the source of where that bad fruit comes from. deep, deep, deep in the roots, right? The soil, the nutrients, the sap. It can't go there. It's not meant to. So this is why it explains why many Reagan Christian members, after years, experience the same fruit of their program of life. It's called frustration. Right? It's called frustration because it doesn't do what it used to do. At the beginning, it was really great. Oh, what an eye-opener. It changed my life. It helped me so much. Great. Yeah, yeah. And 10 years later, I hate this. Okay? So we're talking about something that's much more appropriate to the illuminative and the unitive. Okay? Which, these are only human terms to try to describe something that's mysterious, God's relationship with us. So whether we say weeks or stages or mansions, they're different ways of explaining what we've learned throughout history and shared in our experiences of God working with us. Okay? So in all ways, to some degree, they're all limited. Because we cannot put God in a box and figure him out all the time. But they're good ways because they've borne fruit over centuries, right? You know this, Latin, discern means actually to separate and to divide. The ability to judge well in our modern contemporary definition, the ability to judge well is what we're talking about. Rules for discernment of spirits. I'm laughing at myself as I'm new at Canva. I like it, but I'm still new. So I'm laughing at myself. I thought, why was that a good idea when I had that happen? But anyway, Ignatius says, these rules aid us toward perceiving and then understanding, at least to some extent, the various motions which are caused in the soul, the good ones that can be received, and the bad ones so they can be rejected. It's actually quite simple. This is straight from the spiritual exercises. Number 313. By the way, if you ever have trouble sleeping, read the spiritual exercises. It's a manual for the directors of exercises. It's horrible. Ignatius had a gift of synthesis. It's like he gave you bones and that's it. So if you ever have trouble sleeping, just pick it up. It will work. You know about this. The Ignatian exercises were originally a 30-day experience where you went away one-on-one with the director. Over time, his own Jesuits, who led through them first, began, he thought it was a once-in-a-life deal, right? And they were focused on making your option, your election in life, your fundamental option. That's what they were focused on. But his own Jesuits, after time, began to say, let's go through it again. And he said, but you already did. We don't need it. And they said, oh, no, there's more. So he himself grew into understanding, oh, it can be changed or applicable to different states of life, including people who are progressing in spiritual life, who've already made their fundamental option. So over time, they take on different forms, like what we were used to, a 3 or 4 day format, maybe 5 day. For us legionaries, we do an 8 day year. And those different options are called annotations. Well, annotations are his commentary on the exercises itself, footnotes. And in some of those footnotes, he talks about the different format that the exercise could take instead of only the original. Because who can go away for 30 days? You know, some people can, praise the Lord, most people cannot. So he was also very adaptable to the reality and explained and formed his Jesuits to also be adaptable to the reality of the person and what they can and cannot do. The 18th annotation is what we do, the 8 day exercises. It's kind of funny. You talk to Jesuits and you kind of, from our point of view, that happened to me on my retreat in New Orleans, Ignatius and retreat, and we're sitting with some Jesuits and we're talking about our experiences and we're kind of like bragging a little bit, like, yeah, we do the 8 day every year. And the Jesuit says, yeah, that's what Ignatius says. If you can't do anything else, you can do that. Sorry. And then there's the 19th annotation, which is in daily living. Don't go away to a retreat center. You continue your normal life, but you meet with your director weekly, and he walks you, or she walks you through the exercises, as long as it takes, in your daily life. Which in the movement, we have found, and has been life-changing for many of us. And one of the common denominators of the feedback that we receive going through that is I've made the connection like I've never before between my real stuff and my prayer life. That there's no real separation. Because, you know, even the privilege of going away to a retreat center, it's so beautiful. I'm not saying it's bad. You are kind of artificially living a little bit in a bubble, right? And leaving the world behind in life. But when you're in your exercise, on your retreat, in the real, the connections can be so much more real. Right? Anyway, so that has come into our spiritual family and has been a source of great renewal. Discernment, but not, so when we're talking about discernment here, we're assuming a couple things. Let me give you a second. Sorry. Click, 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 click. We are assuming that you are a person of prayer. You're assuming that you are living grace, a life of grace. Not that we fall off grace sometimes, but the normal is grace is there. And that examine is a habit. It's a normal thing to examine your life. So in other words, discernment of spirits, and this is the examine that we're going to talk about, doesn't work when prayer isn't the normal. You're not practicing examine habitually. And you're not living in a life of grace. Okay. So again, this is not a chicken soup for the soul type of thing that we're talking about. It's in relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God, who's the author of our spiritual life. Okay, yeah, I'm going to redo this. This is annoying. I did this for a parish last year, and I thought it was my first time using it. Okay, so what are the tools that Ignatius teaches for discernment of spirits? Daily mental prayer. Let's talk about mental prayer here. We're not talking about vocal prayer. So we're not talking about liturgy of the hours per se. We're not talking about our rosaries, not devotions. Not saying those are bad things. But we're saying for discernment to happen, to become a good discerner, daily mental prayer has to be my normal. Daily mental prayer means about minimum 30 minutes. So if you entered Regnum Christi and your spiritual life was taking off by using the meditations that are sent out daily, okay, that's a good starting point. But if you just read that and then take a couple minutes on your own and then you end, it's not really mental prayer. It's good spiritual reading, and it's a great start, but it's meant to be a launching pad. Okay, so we're talking about mental prayer, kind of like what we're doing on retreat in your personal prayer time. Examines, or different types of examines, we'll talk about that. A journal. Journal means taking notes of what's going on. It doesn't necessarily mean a diary, but it means you're paying attention, you're writing things down, and then you go back to visit that on a habitual basis. I remember my spiritual directors in formation more than once would encourage me to journal. And I was understanding diary, and I was thinking to myself, yeah, that's for girls, not doing that. I didn't understand. They were encouraging me to write it down, pay attention to what I've been saying. Write it down, pay attention, bring it to the Holy Spirit again. This is what we're speaking to. You've got to catch some things. And for years, I said, not doing it. But now I say, oh, man. And some of my directees are so much better than this, and I'm edified by how prepared they are for spiritual direction because they're doing these things. And so half of their work is already done. It's digested, you could say. And then repetition. So what does Ignatius mean when he teaches a repetition? In Ignatian language, repetition means you take your journal where you've gathered the graces from your prayer and from your daily examine, and you use that to pray with for that morning's meditation. It's not repeating, let's say, a gospel passage you did yesterday. It's not praying with it again. It's not that. It's praying with the gathering of the collection of the gathering of the graces that you have written down in your journal. And it's taking, as we said earlier, helping awareness grow into understanding. So if you're in the exercises, if you're doing the 19th annotation, for example, you're doing a weekly repetition before you meet with the spiritual director. And a really good habit is do that, let's say monthly. So your morning prayer, your daily prayer, that one day a month is actually from your journal, and you're praying with what you've written down. And you're asking now over time the Holy Spirit to highlight for me the connections. Help me understand what you are saying to me. Okay? So sometimes this language is a little confusing. Repetition means that, not repeating something I've already done.
So when you're saying praying from the journal, is the journal just the fruits of the exercise or the whole? Because when I journal, I'm like writing down a stream of consciousness of like when I'm praying.
Right, right.
But you're not talking about that. You're talking about just like the distilled version of the fruits that came out.
Yeah, a little bit more of this distilled. It could be fruits or it could be simply things that I don't understand, but I'm aware this was happening. Like, why was that memory coming up again Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, not on Sunday, but yes, on Monday, you know, it was that, it's that, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I suggest in normal life, doing this once a month, sometimes it's really good to do it before your spiritual direction. If you're in the spiritual exercises and you're doing the 19th annotation, you'd do that weekly because you're meeting with your spiritual director weekly. Okay? So, we talked about this already, the examine of our prayer, our meditation. It's brief. It's about mental prayer. It's brief. It's, let's say if you pray 30 minutes of mental prayer, it's 60 seconds, 2 minutes of examine. It's brief. It's, like we said earlier, what happened in this prayer? Was it more of my head, more of my heart? Did memories pop up? Distraction? How was it? Dry? Full of feelings? Consolation? Desolation? That's what it is. Simple. It's not like, got it, Lord, I'm going to Africa and I'm going to build a well. It's not that. Right? It's observing. And we talked about that already. So when Ignatius explains examines, he's talked about that one. We just did number one. I just walked you through that. We did that earlier. There's an examine of our prayer that we do after each mental prayer. There's an exam of conscience, right? We know what that is. You examine your conscience so you're aware of your sin, to bring it to God for forgiveness. We're not talking about that when we talk about this kind of examine. Okay? The examine of conscience, it's preparation for confession. And what is it? It's judging the moral quality of our choices. That's what the examine of conscience is. What did I do? Did I do good or did I do evil? And if I'm aware of any evil that I have done, I want mercy, so I'm going to take that to confession when I go, right? That's the point of our conscience examine, right? By definition, it's looking at self. Doesn't mean selfish, negative. No, it just means the object of the conscience examine is myself. That's a good thing. But the examine we're teaching here is not that. The examine of consciousness or examine prayer is what we're talking about. And it's different. It's daily. It should be done daily. It is prayer. It's not self-analysis. The object is what makes it different. What differentiates the examines? The object. The object of our conscience examine is ourselves. The object of the examine of consciousness or examine prayer is God, not ourselves. So, my conscience, I focus on myself. Consciousness or examine prayer or discernment of spirits examine, God is the focus. This kind of examine, unlike the conscience examine, gives fruit only over time, usually not immediately. And it can feel passive. Actually, it is more passive than active. It feels passive because the object is God's action, not my action. I'm the receiver, you could say, not the doer. So it can be a bit of a shift a little bit if this is new to us. And it can take time before it begins to be understood and feel normal. In our spiritual family, we were really good at teaching the conscience examine and forming consciences according to the teaching of the church and Jesus' criteria, and really good at that. That's excellent. We're not so good at teaching this because this is more appropriate for week three, week four, you know, illuminative, end of week two, beginning of week three, and maturer souls. And we just weren't there as a body. Some members were. How arrogant it is to think that someone joins Redding Christie as a spiritual baby. You know nothing. Thanks be to God you joined us so we can teach you, right? It's not that. You know, we had wonderful saints and mature people join Redding Christie, but also beginners. But as a corporate body, you know, legionaries leading it, we were new. We were new. We were newbies, so we could only teach what we knew. But we're growing. Okay? Any questions with that? We're going to walk you through it. We're going to walk you through it now.
We might need the slides later because we're like, I don't think that we are.
Okay. Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, here's the steps. First step, praise and gratitude. I'm talking about 15, 20 minutes, that's it. Or no, sorry, 10 to 15. I would even say 20. Some people do 20. I think that's a little long. Whatever. 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes. I'm not talking about a whole another hour of prayer. Not that. It's brief. First step is some praise and gratitude, like we had mentioned before. Because this man we're going to meet one day, he's going to judge us. He's going to say, welcome, or no, you're a goat, get out of here, you know. So we want to be on good terms with the judge. We just want to be friends. We want to say, oh, thank God it's you. This is going to be a breeze. So when you say thank you to the judge and you praise him for his qualities, he likes you. It's just smart, you know. So take time to praise him and thank him. And also adding what we're learning about praise. Praise is important. And when we praise him, right, other things have to leave the room so we can talk to God in peace, right? Then the second step is we ask for light from the Holy Spirit, because this is a two-way street. It's dialogue. It's not monologue. It's not self-analysis, just me and my own powers and my ability to figure my own stuff out. No, it's dialogue with the Holy Spirit. So take a moment to ask him for light. Holy Spirit, highlight for me what you want me to notice today of what happened today. Highlight for me. Help me see my life from your point of view. Enlighten my mind. Purify my heart. Strengthen my will. Etc. This point, the third point, is the crux of the examine of discernment of spirits. It's all about God and my freedom. The two loves intersecting. So what you do here, I think of it in this way, when you're at this point, the heart of the examine, is to ask him, Lord, where did you engage me today? Where did you engage me? When did you engage me? Or how did you engage me today? That first question. Where did you engage me? The second question is, okay, now that you've highlighted for me the 5 moments of engagement, how did I respond? Did I respond? Did I even notice? Or did I say, no, thank you, and I moved on, right? How did I respond in that? This is why this examine is a little passive, because it's more focused on God's activity and my response versus my choices. So what I've told people who are learning this and it feels uncomfortable, let's say from now until the next spiritual direction, and assuming that's within a month, when you're doing this, just stay on that first question. Where have you showed up today, Lord? Where have you engaged me? To become familiar and comfortable with trusting the Holy Spirit to highlight what is important. And everything enters. It's not just, we're not just talking about our prayer. How did you engage my half an hour prayer this morning? Now I'm doing this at 7 in the evening. No, it's not that. It's that and everything else that happened. Prunella and the photocopier. And the drive to school or dropping off the kids or the whatever. It all counts. But I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit, to highlight for me the important moments. How did you engage me? So I give you some examples where, in my experience, I didn't realize the Holy Spirit was engaging me, and I counted them as distractions, right? Sometimes it happened in prayer, sometimes it happened in life. But I assumed those things are distractions. Get out of here. Concentrate. Right. So everything enters. But you're trusting, since you've asked for the light of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit will guide you to what is important. Then how did I respond? How did I respond to you? So hopefully the work we have been doing in trying to learn the very creative ways that the Lord may speak to us can broaden our perspectives, you could say, open us to more of his workings. And not come at him a little bit with a narrow-minded approach. Well, I went to Mass, you know, I went to Mass, so... So aren't you happy, God, I went to Mass? It's a little bit more than that. It's like everything. And then you go to the other stream. Okay, I have to examine everything. So I was driving to work and the branch fell off and it hit the neighbor's car. And then, yeah, and then I saw the post guy. And then I didn't show him the sidewalk. And then. Why have to examine? So where we trust. That everything enters, and then I surrender, and you tell me what's most important. Okay? After you gather those, you observe how you were engaged, and if you were engaged, and how did you respond, you take note of that. If you notice in that process that you are aware of sin, you have the opportunity to repent. I know, I am slightly embarrassed. Right, exactly. That's right. I wasn't sure. So, but I actually meant, see, it's producing the opposite effect that I wanted. What I want is to highlight that this is not the goal. This is extra. If you realize you have sinned, bonus. But the focus of the exam isn't that. That's the conscience exam. But if in the process the Lord reveals to you, yeah, I engaged you and you sinned in the process, take note, that would be beneficial. Tag that, save it for confession if you need to go to confession, right? But it's if needed. It doesn't mean every day I do my conscience examine, I have to repent, and I've done my conscience examine too, so I have to repent again. It's not that. It's if in the process he highlights for me, yeah, I realize I messed up there, I need to ask forgiveness, but it's a bonus. And you end by, you know, writing down your observations and then thanking him. Thank you, Lord, for what you've shown me today. Thank you for showing up as you did. Thank you for highlighting this. We thank him. Yes?
I'm not clear on something. I thought you said yesterday that after every meditation we should do a quick examine. Mm-hmm. Are you saying now at the end of the day, go back and
so remember, yes, so two things. Examines, plural. Examines. Examine of prayer. Examine of conscience. Examine of consciousness. So what we're talking about now, examine the discernment of spirits. After every mental prayer period, it's really good to do a quick examine, but that means 60 seconds. That's mostly awareness. What happened? We did that. We, you know, it was of my heart, of my head, just being aware. I don't have to arrive to super deep conclusions in that 60 seconds and understanding and revelation. No, not necessarily. It's simple awareness. We are so easily moving on to the next thing, okay, that we can miss the visitation of our Lord in our prayer. So one of the reasons why in this room, we created a lot of space for you, so you weren't rushing from one activity to the other, one to another, one to another, one to another, one to another. It's the time to absorb. and sit in what was going on. So that prayer, that examine after prayer of 60 seconds helps make that possible. That's all. Okay? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Observations and thank you. I suggest that you write this in your journal, and maybe in the same place that you just have one journal, and every day you have the bottom of the page maybe is the observations from my daily examine. Maybe at the top is my meditation material or something. So that when you, if you decide to adopt that really good habit that I highly recommend of doing a weekly or monthly repetition, you have everything right there. It's right there. It makes it easier to take a step back and see the picture of a little snapshot of time, of week, of a month, of what our Lord is doing in your life in formal prayer time and then in life, knowing from his point of view, it's all one. We explain that. That's what a repetition is. We talked about this. Three keys to this is awareness that grows over time into understanding. The picture becomes more clear. That's what that's supposed to represent. Leads us, to decision. So I'm not saying that the examine of discernment of spirits or the examine of the day or examine prayer leads us to a decision every day. That's not what I'm saying. So I'm not saying after every meditation, like maybe we were formed at the beginning stages, which is great. What's your resolution? That's not what we're saying with this. We're saying over time, you see that the Holy Spirit has been leading you as the dots are connecting to a decision. Right? Do I tell the boss Prunella is fired? That's what he wants. I will do that. I am happy to do that, right? Or do I, whatever. Do I take my kid out of school? Do I put him in the school? Do I join a new team? Do I form a new team? Do I leave my team? Do I, whatever it is. Do I go on the retreat or not go on the retreat? Do I, retire or not retire? No, whatever it is. Over time, it leads us to a place of freedom to decide yes or no. That's the fruit of this examine. In the process, we become familiar or more familiar with the ways the Holy Spirit is talking to me. And familiar as well with the action of the enemy, who I would say, as Ignatius explained at the beginning, those things are to be rejected and the good ones are to be accepted. Ignatius actually teaches this in the retreat after he thinks that the person is pretty much in the habit of prayer, living a life of grace on a normal basis, and the habit of examine is formed. Then he goes into the teaching of the rules of discernment. We've talked about the consciousness examine. That's when he introduces the rules. The first set of rules, the 14, are for more the purgative, beginning of illuminative stage of life. And if he saw in the retreat that the soul was advancing into second half, you could say, of illuminative into unitive, then he introduces the second set of rules, 8. The second set of rules are all about consolation. Because over time, you learn that when the soul, now is no longer deciding good or bad, sin or not sin, I'll think about it, maybe sin today and then repent and then that'll be good tomorrow. When the state of grace is habitual and the soul is continually progressing, the enemy has to change tactics to get us. So in the beginning, right, when we're still kind of wobbly in that, sin has an attraction to us. And a more direct appeal works in sin, can work. But when those things are fixed, he has to come in the form of an angel of light in disguise. Disguised as an angel of light, sorry. So he appears as a consolation. It's a false one. But Ignatius said, don't tell people the devil can come in the form of consolation until they're ready for that, because you're just going to really mess them up, right? Confuse them. So he doesn't introduce the second set of rules of discernment until there's confidence that these things are now normal, part of the normal and ordinary. And the soul is always, or generally, always earnestly wanting and in practice going in the direction of God. And that these tools are being now used on a normal basis. It's normal. Journaling, mental prayer, examine. So, this examine, this conscious examine, this discernment of spirits doesn't work if your mental prayer is just not your normal. It's once in a while. And then, you know, today it's just, I'm going to turn on K-Love on my way to work and now that's my prayer for the day, and that's it. Or, you know, I'm paying attention more or less, and I'm not writing it down, and then actually tomorrow, I've forgotten what happened yesterday. You know? It doesn't work, because, again, we're talking about a person here, the Holy Spirit. We don't control him. He respects our choices, and those are different ways of saying, no thanks, not yet. And the conditions necessary for rules of discernment engagement part two. Yeah, that's what I just mentioned. Okay. Questions, comments? I'm going to change this because I used a different slide. Two sources I found really good for learning this and teaching this. Let's see here. Where is my... new quick access shortcuts. That's nice. Where was that? I mentioned this before. Timothy Gallagher's book, The Examine Prayer, is really good. I suggest that. It's a good teaching tool. And there's an article written by Father George Aschenbrenner. He's a Jesuit, I think is the best written explanation of what we're talking about. He wrote an article called Consciousness Examined, George Aschenbrenner, S.J., that helped me immensely. To me, that turned on the light bulb. Ah, now I understand. I'm not saying everyone will get that same light bulb effect. Some don't, some do, but it helped me immensely. Timothy Gallagher, I recommend reading. I personally don't recommend listening because he's a very good pedagogue, but it's like an extreme pedagogue. So he gives you 10 points. The next section, he gives you a repeat of 9 of them and then introduces one more. And then the next session, he does a repeat of the previous 9 and then one more. And it's just like, goes so slow. And he's monologue. He is monotone. So it's really hard sometimes to listen to it. But reading is really good. So we did this, and some of the formation is a study circle in teams. And I received, I took it as a compliment, because I'll teach examine a lot. But when some of the, especially the men said to me, as they're doing it in their team, now I get it, Father. Now I understand what you were saying. You know, so something maybe as you study and pray together and share what you're learning together, it can click maybe that way as well. It's a good resource. I would say if you're going to do something in team, do the examine prayer book. If it's just a new solo, I would recommend both. But I think George Aschenbrenner, even the Jesuits, what we learned was that the 19th annotation fell off their radar. In other words, it wasn't in practice for like decades. And George Aschenbrenner, and one or two, I think he passed away recently, brought it back. And it came through that article, teaching the consciousness examine again. And then now, the 19th annotation is much more popular, and not only Jesuits are using it, but in living memory in North America, in the English-speaking world, it had died out. And he kind of brought it back through this examine of consciousness. any questions or comments, I want to encourage you that you're doing a good job on your retreat. You're doing a good job. It's hard work. It's not easy. But from my privileged place of getting to see and observe, and when you come to speak to me, I can definitely say, or the Holy Spirit is at work and you're responding. It's good. I can also say that there are many retreats going on at the same time. They're not too exact the same. No, it's very individual, which is a good sign that this is not just, let's say, a class that we're listening to and learning some stuff, but it's personal, and that's good. I want to encourage you, too, as we're learning and listening and praying, you know, the grace that we're asking for is happening. We are being... our Lord is talking to us in different ways. And that's what we're asking for. If we ask for it in good faith, he knows how to give us good things, like a good father would. So I encourage you too, in this part of the retreat, that if you perceive our Lord speaking to you in a different way, let him speak to you. I encourage you to if you want to cry, you cry. And if you want to laugh, you laugh. And if you want to sing, you sing. And if you want to be quiet, you be quiet. Tears are a sign of the Holy Spirit. And tears have a function. They cleanse us and they heal us. So when we resist them, we're slowing down something good. I don't know if you can feel it, but sometimes on the retreat, I was feeling that if I didn't sing, the building would crumble or the rocks would split. Has anyone else perceived that or something similar? That if you couldn't, if we didn't express what in some way what was happening, that the rocks would split, they would sing for us. Did anyone? No, you don't have to. I want to encourage you that you're in family. These are your sisters. You can be real with each other here. This is, I hate to say it, a safe place, but it is. There's no judgment here. We are a mess together. We're holy together. We're sinners together. That was real for the apostles. One of the things we've learned in our renewal is that as wired as we are for apostolate, and it's a good thing, and that's what God wants, it is essential, not secondary, how we love each other in the process, how we love each other on our teams. Love has to be present, real love. Real love has to be present for apostolate to be real, too. It has to be. Love, who is a person, has to be the beginning, the means and the end of all that we do. We're wasting time. So we're not here to create great programs. We're not here to create great institutions. Those are means. We are here to love, and love is the strongest force in the universe. He is a person. How is your love on your teams? How is your charity? I'm not trying to call into the. I'm trying to encourage. You know, so when you can love each other on your teams, that means you trust and you can share your real stuff with your sisters and your team who love you and are saints in the making too, and we all have our stuff. And that with the formation we have and the maturity under our belts, we can distinguish between, hey, you know what, let's talk. Let's go to, do you need some therapy? And there's no shame in that. Let's go and find some therapy. Or, hey, that's something for spiritual direction. That's okay. But we would do each other a disservice if we reined ourselves in to such strictness that we were afraid to counsel somebody because, that might be a spiritual direction. Or, I'm not a therapist. But love is strong, and love breaks down barriers. Lies and bad habits and dysfunction. So the apostles, Jesus taught them how to love each other. And it's hard work. It's not easy. in movement, we were formed to a certain degree with a dysfunctional false love. A little bit. You know, maybe we know why, the dysfunction of the person who started our movement, right? But we learned also that no, Jesus formed them to love each other. When we love each other, right, when love is present in our team life, wonderful things can happen. Barriers fall down. Insights are shared that resonate. Oh my gosh, that was for me. The identity of prophet is working. That's for me. She's here, but that was for me. She didn't even know, but that was for me. And vice versa. And it's not much less about teaching what I think I know about the Greek and the New Testament. Okay? Yeah. Now, maybe I was talking about different forms of the spiritual exercises. One of them is in daily living. And in that form of the exercises, you would meet with the director weekly to walk you through the retreat.
Yeah, how, who is that with and how do you do that?
Usually the people that are preparing for being spiritual guides, yeah, they are doing that kind of formation. So they do that like every... Mm-hmm. There's one person in our section that's doing that. So, like, they meet with their spiritual guide, like, once a week, just part of, like, their growing spiritually and also to be able to be a spiritual guide.
Because they are preparing to be a spiritual
guide. Well, or not necessarily.
It's a different type of, it's a way of doing your spiritual exercises,
yes,
in a different way.
Yes.
So, like, we're on a true one, but there's also a spiritual exercises, which I didn't know that was too big, by the way. And then there's also this... What is it called?
19th annotation. So it's the Ignatian spiritual exercises in the version where instead of going away to a retreat center, you are in your normal life, but you meet with your director weekly who walks you through the retreat as long as it takes. So instead of going away to a place for a certain period of time, you stay in your normal life and you're being led through the exercises as long as it takes. That's called the 19th annotation version. And you meet with the director weekly for that.
I feel like I need that. Is there another place to get
it? Yeah, I think it's a really good thing, and lots of us need it. Yeah. Yeah. And I hope it comes to this area. Yeah. So that's something to talk about as a section, maybe, and how can that happen. So
I did it online.
Yeah, you did it online.
I did it online. My spiritual director wasn't
cut. Yeah.
So it can't be done even if you don't have people to do it.
Right. That could be a takeaway. Maybe we could talk about it afterwards. But in the movement, we have people who are trained in that and have led people through it individually or given classes about it. And if we can do it, I hope next year we'll put on our second teaching convention about that. For those people who have gone through it or are feeling the call to be spiritual guides or are spiritual guides, to capacitate them, equip them, right, to be able to give that kind of spiritual direction / retreat. Yeah, it's a blessing. Okay. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for all that you are doing on the retreat so far. You are the God who does not run out of riches for us. I ask you to increase what you are doing in every person here. Give them more of their heavenly inheritance. Create new wineskins to pour more wine, more good, rich wine into each person here, Lord. If there's anything that I gave as counsel, advice, or an image or a word that is not of your holy will, in the name of Jesus, I break it so it has zero negative effect on anyone here. May the blessing of Almighty God come upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.